Penguin Random House Audio presents Delhi Weds Destiny by Tomi Abaro, read for you by Tarie Peterside.
To my parents, Dami and Kamiye. Prologue. In the photo, they are eating something out of frame. Pounded yam, perhaps, or maybe eba. They hadn't bothered to take off their graduation robes. They were ravenous. Tired from the heat, their bottoms sore from the plastic chairs they had sat in for hours, their feet swollen from the high-heeled shoes they had worn for the ceremony. Fumi sits on the left. She had pinned a yellow flower to her graduation cap, so her loose, bouncy curls, courtesy of Mama Fatima's hair rollers, and not, as many people seem to think, a biological gift from her late Lebanese mother, frame her face just so. Eniton sits in the middle, her hand hiding her laugh. She had gotten her hair relaxed as well, but the results were not as striking. She was glad that her graduation cap added volume to what was now chin-length, lackluster hair. She had worn powder to mute the impact of her shiny forehead and to cover the smattering of acne that dotted her cheeks. Zainab sits on Eniton's right-hand side. She wears a tight black scarf that pulls back the hair around her face, and she has twisted the ends of the scarf into a low knot at the nape of her neck, so it looks like a sophisticated chignon. Zainab and Fumi were the striking beauties of the trio. Cook and Fanta. People would joke when they would see the three of them walking together on campus. That Eniton never got a nickname was a slight she was used to. "You attract beauty," a boy had told her once. But he had meant this quite literally. She attracted beauty only in the sense that she herself was not beautiful, but her two best friends were. Eniton had wanted to mark their graduation with some sort of pageantry. She was the unabashed sentimentalist of the group, prone to easy tears. She procured a candle used when there was no light and had stuck it in the swallow since they had no cake. Fumi had rolled her eyes at first, saying it was childish, but then Zainab lit the candle and they all erupted into peals of laughter, their shoulders juddering, their stomachs aching from the strain of giggling so hard. The photo hadn't captured that moment, though. Only the aftermath, when Zainab had taken the candle out and they were all eating greedily with their hands, slurping ogbono soup off their fingers. Though well acquainted with unexpected sorrow, they were still so excitable that day, drunk with the potential they believe they have. At 19, 21, and 22, their lives stretch out before them, vast and expansive. They feel fortunate. They are fortunate. One of them marries a good man and has four sons, four tall, dark sons with cheekbones sharp as cutlasses and milk-white teeth. She will be surrounded by so much steady and abiding affection, so unlike the love she coveted from the romance novels she read voraciously in school, with their dramatic declarations and epic back and forth. But then there's tragedy. The usual, ordinary, unromantic kind. Three strokes, and just like that, she has an incapacitated husband, and the looming imminent prospect of life without him. It is so hard to think of what she will be when he leaves her. She has been wife, then mother, for so long. Meanwhile, the one who brought the three of them together suddenly leaves the country, less than a year after this photo was taken, opting to marry the first man who ever really looks at her. She had never known what it felt like to be gazed upon with rapt admiration, to say something and know that she will be listened to. It's an intoxicating feeling, this attention. For a long time, she will think it is enough to sustain her. She is wrong. And one of them will become quite rich, as in, she has an apartment in London, shops at Harrods rich, as in, she also has a house in Lekki and a sprawling compound in her husband's village rich. As in, tinted black SUV windows rich, and walk-in closet full of brand-name shoes she seldom wears, Rich. As in, drivers and servants and what her husband does is ill-defined and definitely involves bribery, but she prefers not to think about it, Rich. These three women are essentially sisters, though Fumi would chafe at the sickly sweetness of such a term. Their love has the makings of an ancient habit. It is automatic and unyielding. And though their unexpected separation so shortly after graduation tests their friendship, they remain steadfastly in each other's lives. And now they are going to be reunited for the first time since this photo was printed and handed out to each of them a few days after their college graduation ceremony in Zaria, Kaduna. Part 1. Lagos, December 2015. Chapter 1. Eniton.
I think they've lost our luggage, Eniton announced to Remy.
They both watched the only item left on the carousel, a haggard, haphazardly taped Ghana Must Go bag make yet another turn.
Well, Remy said,
and then she looked at her mother, and they both began giggling, the unfettered, unhinged laughter of the exhausted. Their journey from New York to Lagos had been a chaotic one. Remy was supposed to have spent the night with her mother in Eniton's new apartment in Jamaica, Queens, where Eniton now lived since she had moved out of the family's two-bedroom Park Slope apartment. But Remy had decided to take the train to Queens instead that morning, slowing them down considerably. Even when she and Remy had finally managed to get a car, they had had to endure a two-hour-long wait to get through security at JFK, because everyone, it seemed, was desperate to go somewhere warm 2 weeks before Christmas. Then they had another three-hour wait when they got to Heathrow, because their flight to Lagos had been delayed. Now, at last, they had arrived, tired, hungry, and apparently without luggage. Still, it was good that Eniton and Remy were laughing together. That Remy had agreed to come had been somewhat unexpected. Since Eniton and Charles had announced their intention to separate, Remy, 19 years old, had reverted back to a younger, more beleaguered self. Her eyes had rapidly filled with tears when they had sat her down and first told her the news. They had not expected her to take it so hard. In truth, the divorce had been a long time coming. Remy's departure for college had clarified that yes, this man Eniton had abruptly and dramatically left Nigeria for, while she loved him and always would in the familial sense, he was the father of her child after all. He was no longer someone she could envision spending the rest of her life with, certainly not as husband and wife. In many ways, it felt like a miracle that they had been together as long as they had. Sometimes, Eniton wondered if, were it not for her utter literal dependence on him those first few years in the US, and the shared deep sense of mutual obligation toward the other, he for taking her away from everything she had ever known, her for doing so without complaint and even excitement, their marriage would have lasted as long as it had. But to Remy, who was 19, but a young 19, Eniton thought, a naive 19, her mother was a traitor. She was breaking up their beautiful, close-knit family that had always prompted smiles from neighbors who thought that Eniton's presence in the neighborhood belied the persistent and aggressive whitening of the area. Just that morning, as Eniton kept refreshing the ride-hailing app, hoping for a car to magically appear, Remy had rolled her eyes and sighed melodramatically and then suggested they take the bus so Eniton could save money for the divorce. Eniton had told Remy to cut it out, and Remy had rolled her eyes again, and so Eniton had slapped her reflexively. They had both stared at each other in shock. Remy began to cry. Eniton said she was sorry, and then their car had come. So yes, laughter was good and suggested momentary forgiveness, which Eniton appreciated. In general, Remy had always been bad at holding grudges, And Eniton was grateful that Remy had given up a ski trip with her boyfriend's family over the winter break to attend the wedding of a girl she had only met twice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?